Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Pete. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. Yesterday on NBC Sports Washington, J.P. Finley, who is a contributor to Chad Dukes versus the World regularly here on the station, posted a story. It read, when Bill Callahan names the Redskins starting quarterback for the Week 11 game against the Jets, know that Callahan is making his own call. Sources told NBC Sports Washington that before Callahan accepted his role as interim head coach last month, he made it clear he would only accept the role if he had complete control of the 53-man roster, and that players that were signed or released or decided upon being starters or backups, all those decisions were going to be his. The Redskins agreed to his terms, partly out of necessity because the team had made clear already that former head coach Jay Gruden would be fired. JP points out in his piece that they had signed a fullback, something Callahan wanted to do.
Some evidence there that speaks to it, right?
Absolutely. That basically the whole practice squad has been turned over, although I'll be honest, practice squads get turned over the span of a month all the time. I don't know how different that is or unique. I mean, generally you get one or two guys that stick for a season, but those guys come and go all the time. So I don't know how much evidence that is, but I like the idea that he points out of, look, they're using a fullback. They're using different personnel groupings now. There's something to be said for that. So a couple of thoughts here for me. I want to get yours as well. And we can open up the phones at 800-636-1067 to see what you guys think about this. Number one, I don't buy that Callahan, as an interim head coach, a couple weeks in, is going to have more control than Jay Gruden in his fifth or sixth year running the Washington Redskins. I just don't buy that. I think the reason that I have a hard time buying it is because it is so irrational and illogical and so silly that it shouldn't happen. It doesn't mean that it's not happening, though. And when I say I don't buy it, I'm not saying I don't believe J.P. Finley's report. I'm saying someone told him this, and I want to know, as I'm kind of sifting through this, who gains
benefits
from this?
Yeah, cui bono?
Bill Callahan could have told him that. Makes Bill Callahan look pretty good that they think more of him as a head coach right away than they thought of Jay Gruden in 5 or 6 years. If a Redskins staffer told him this, then, you know, front office guy, I think it makes them, in this case, look like they're empowering someone to run the show and basically, yeah, we weren't sure about that Jay Gruden guy, but Bill Callahan's an adult and a professional, and we want to do this the right way, so he's going to get to call all his own shots. And it takes the dirt off their hands if and when Dwayne Haskins doesn't or does play and doesn't play well. Because their point is, everyone said we were going to demand that he was on the field. We're out of this now. This is Bill Callahan's call completely. I got a little sense of maybe some Jay Gruden in this story because there were some anecdotes on Jay wanting to, say, release DJ Swearinger early last year. He wasn't allowed to, so he did it later in the year. I mean, he kind of benefits from some of those things where you hear, here's something Jay Gruden wanted to do and he couldn't do. So maybe he's somehow involved in this as well. But I guess here's my bottom line. Twofold. One, it's weird that they would already be giving more power and influence to Bill Callahan, who was an offensive line coach for a bunch of years here. More say than they gave Jay Gruden. And two, if that's the case, again, it's another reason why I just think so little of Bruce Allen in this front office. If you have a guy here for 5 or 6 years who can't call his own shots, that's bad. If you have a guy here for 6 minutes and 2 cups of coffee who may not be here next year, who gets to do whatever he wants, that's even worse. I don't want to use the word dumb. I think it's kind of an immature word. But Danny, Bill Callahan is going to be here for an hour. You're hiring a new head coach next year. To me, this is where someone in the front office, I hate that it's Bruce Allen, but maybe it's him. Maybe it's Eric Schaefer. Maybe it's Kyle Smith. Maybe it's Doug Williams. Whoever it is, someone who's going to be around here should stand up and say, wait a second. Bill Callahan's going to do what's best for Bill Callahan in his future. He doesn't care about the 2020 Washington Redskins. The next head coach might bring in his own O-line coach. And if you're telling me, well, no, he'll be here, that's dumb too.
Yes.
Because then you're telling the next head coach that you've got to keep Bill Callahan. Bruce Allen likes him. It's why he's still here. They're boys. So if he just all of a sudden gives Bill Callahan more say than Jay Gruden, that's a problem too. Nothing about this story to me does anything but raise my blood pressure.
So I buy it. And the reason I buy it, I can see how we got here. What is the Redskins culture, despite Bruce Allen telling us that it's damn good? The culture is find the scapegoat. Find someone to blame. Find the reason that it didn't go. It's been the quarterback who was so greedy. It's been Scott McLuhan. It's been Brian LaFemina. This year's scapegoat is Jay Gruden. So I could see Bruce Allen saying, Bill, you do this the way you want to do it, and we'll do better, and we'll prove that it was Jay Gruden's fault.
What about last year, though? I mean, there are a couple examples of last year's roster where Gruden couldn't do something he wanted to do when he wasn't, quote-unquote, the scapegoat.
Yeah, LaFemina was the scapegoat last year as to why things
weren't great. But I'm saying in terms of running the show, your point is, and I think it's a really good point. I actually buy into it a little bit. You're saying this year he was set up to fail. He was the scapegoat.
Yes.
So he didn't get to do some of the things like getting rid of Adrian Peterson or whatever that he wanted to do.
So this year...
Last year, there's some examples where that was the case, too.
Right. So you don't give the normal... You know, Bruce wants to aggregate power. He wants all the control. He was given more responsibility this offseason. Again, just comical that that's the vision, that that's the case. But this year's MO is we're going to make sure everybody thinks that it's Jay Gruden's fault. So I could absolutely see him granting more autonomy to Bill Callahan to put a stamp on it. And by the way, I think you and I need to get to a place. We need to get to this place. Here's the destination. It's miles ahead on the highway. We've seen our first sign for it.
Uh-oh.
I need you to get here with me.
No, I know what you're about to say. I'm not doing it.
I'm not there yet.
I'm not doing what you're about to do.
I think we need to recognize that it's a possibility that we might end up here.
No, I'm not doing that.
A viable candidate for the Washington Redskins head coaching position next year is Bill Callahan.
I'm out.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absurd, frankly.
No chance.
But I think it is absolutely possible because...
What's your argument? That the Redskins make no sense? Is that your best argument?
Bruce Allen loves the guy. And Bruce Allen still has power. To me, this is something that is pretty intuitive. I can actually see how we got to this exact spot where Bill Callahan has them over a barrel. They know Kevin O'Connell's not ready to be a head coach. He hadn't called plays as of yet. They didn't have anybody else on staff that they wanted to elevate. It's a bunch of former defensive coordinators that were just happy to be in a building somewhere. This was going to be the guy.
Here's why I disagree. And there were people last year doing this with Colt McCoy where they said, here's what you have to prepare for. Colt McCoy is going to be the starter next year. It's the exact same thing. They like Colt McCoy. He's going to be the starter. And I said, no chance they're drafting a quarterback. Why do you say that? Because they had to do something to excite the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Gruden didn't want to do it. Front office didn't want to do it. But the owner made the decision, here's what we're doing, because I need a few more season tickets sold and I need some people that want to watch us on TV.
Yep.
Similarly, if you hire Bill Callahan as your head coach to do whatever this is right now where you're averaging 8 points a game, you can kiss any kind of invigoration, excitement, any fan base juice, anything goodbye that you would get from spending a bunch of money on an exciting name. And it may not work out with that coach either. In fact, it probably won't because the culture won't allow them to win here.
Right.
But if you go to college and you get some dude who's averaging 36 points a game running some gimmicky offense in some conference where you give up 35 a game, people will get excited about that. If you hire an offensive coordinator like Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City or Byron Leftwich from Tampa Bay, wherever you want to go, you hire some dude who's calling plays where they actually score touchdowns in the NFL right now.
Oh, what a novel concept.
There will be people that get excited. If you promote the guy who's been in your building for years, working under Jay Gruden, who wants to run the football as much as possible, that's not going to do it. So that's the only reason why I get what you're saying. And yes, Bruce Allen loves him. And if Bruce Allen is calling the shot, he's getting interviewed. I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to do that yet.
I'm not saying yet. I'm saying acknowledge that it's on the highway.
I will acknowledge.
If we get there.
That there is a way.
Okay.
That we could end up at that bridge.
So the point of the dude's story is, the of course they do short-sighted things. And when you don't have a cohesive, intelligent, big picture, capable front office, which comes from having a general manager whose very job is to worry about those sorts of things, you get the week-to-week coach who's just trying to save his own ass. You've seen that here a billion times, haven't you? You've seen that play out in all sports where, yeah, I'll play the veteran to see if I can get myself one more win and make my resume look better. He doesn't care. Bill Callahan shouldn't care about the big picture future of the organization.
But this is my point. My number one problem is if a guy who is your interim head coach who worked under a dude who was here for 6 years
mm-hmm.
immediately has more power than that guy, that is backwards.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, it is horrendous. You can't do things that way. But maybe worse than that, maybe even worse than that, would be saying, do whatever you want to do, run this place however you want to someone who is, you know, working in your restaurant, that when they showed up, you knew they were going to be there for 2 months and that they're going to be somewhere else after that, but they just have to run your restaurant for 2 months until your next guy comes along. And you say, make all the changes and do all the crazy things you want to do. No. Set the culture in place that you're hoping to establish for the people that are still there, the owners, the GMs of the restaurant. Tell the chef, this is how we do things here. We have put you in place to run this kitchen for 2 months. Here's what we're expecting. You don't let him change where he puts his knives and does all this stuff and the menu. Come on. This to me is, while not unbelievable, because I stop short of saying that anymore with the Redskins.
Well, I know, right?
It is really frustrating to hear. 800-636-1067 is the number. What do you guys make of the report? We're G&D on the Fan. Will Brinson of CBS Sports joins us at the bottom of the hour in about 10 minutes. Go around the NFL, some power rankings and some thoughts on some of the better teams in the league. But right now, we're talking about the Redskins. They have a bye week before they take on the Jets at FedEx Field, which would be a great chance to get that second win. They are sitting at one after beating only the Miami Dolphins through 9 games.
For both teams, honestly. The Jets need a rebound after losing to the Dolphins, right? It's a big game for both teams.
Well, they play before that, remember?
That's true.
They could beat the Giants. That'll be a fun game.
Love that. Is it at the Jets or at the Giants?
I think it's at the Meadowlands.
I need to say, the thing that annoys me, by the way, it's just under-talked about.
Right.
I find that so irritating that one of those teams gets, if it's the Giants, that's their one of their away games, much less adversity for them to have to go to the exact same stadium they always
go. Nice little benefit.
I find that annoying.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. The question is, what do you make of this report? Bill Callahan has more influence already on the roster than Jay Gruden ever had. That he's been given basically full control over personnel in a way that Gruden wasn't. 800-636-1067. I find it infuriating because Callahan is an interim coach who theoretically will not be here next year. And if he is here next year, and it's not the decision of the head coach that you hire, but rather just he's appointed to him and they say he's going to be our run game coordinator, that's the wrong way to do it too. But he's here for a few months, and he should be in the business right now of Bill Callahan, of trying to get a head coaching job if that's what he wants, or an offensive coordinating job, or of showing that he could run a program. That's what he should be worrying about right now, and I'm sure it is what he is worrying about. Not the development of Dwayne Haskins or the 2020 Redskins. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I have a couple things to say. I hope I have the time to say it. I think you have to go back to that 12 to 18-hour stretch when they left FedEx Field and before they fired Jay the following morning. And what were Allen's coaching options at that point to get an interim head coach? Someone he trusted. I mean, he's known Callahan since Oakland, okay? And Callahan's the only one on the staff who'd actually had some success long ago and got a team to the Super Bowl. So Callahan was smart. He's worked with Allen all these years. He knows that Allen and the owner meddle with roster decisions. So he said, well, if I'm going to be head coach on an interim basis, I need to have full roster control. And he got it because he had leverage at that moment. Let's also consider this. I truly think that Bruce always thought that Jay would be the scapegoat if this year didn't go well. But I think Bruce was thinking worst case it'll go 6-10 or 7-9. He was not thinking 0-5. And at that point, you know, they've got 11 games left to play, and he's got to convince Dan, we really were close. It's just been Gruden's mess. And so he caved and gave him that control. And the reality is we're 1-3 since Callahan's come on board. We're 2-14 in our last 16 regular season games. We're trending for a 3-20, 23 game stretch or what have you. So, I mean, I think that's what you have to look at. I think that's why they didn't name Haskins a starter already. I believe falsely that Callahan thinks his best chance of winning is with Keenum, and he's hoping Keenum emerges from the concussion protocol.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think
about
you're right,
that.
Kevin.
I think you're 100% right. But again, he doesn't have to worry about the future of the Redskins, which is why when you hire an interim head coach, just think about this. Take the Redskins and Bill Callahan out of it. When another team fires a coach and they promote one of their assistants from a staff of assistants that'll probably all be blown out in a few months, imagine them then empowering that person and saying, yeah, you could cut whoever you want, no problem. You could do whatever you'd like to do. This is your team for the next few months. Own the joint. Wait, what? That's not how this works. He's happy to be here, guy.
And listen, I don't blame Bill Callahan for this, by the
way. No. This sounds like I'm crushing him. No. He's doing what he should be doing.
Yeah, I blame him for his early 90s offensive philosophy. I blame him for, some of the rhetoric and wanting to start Case Keenum. I'll yell at him about that when we get there. Him saying, give me more autonomy and give me more power and let me put my stamp
on
this thing.
I'm the head coach of the team. I should get to run the show.
Yeah, do that.
I would have said, no, you're the interim head coach of the team. And then he would have said, well, I need control of the roster. And I would have said, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next in line, let's see, Matt Kavanaugh. Come on in. I don't care who coaches the rest of the season.
What are you going to do, lose?
Open auditions.
Open auditions for who wants to do it. Do it our way.
Jim Tomsula, you've been a head coach before.
Yeah.
Come up to the podium and groan a couple of times. You're the new head coach of the Redskins. You're not running the personnel. You're not cutting anybody. You're not telling me who we should sign to the practice squad. Let's go to Jack in Vienna. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Good. I agree with the last caller almost to a T. Here's the deal. Callahan's the coach next year. No self-respecting coach with any potential is going to want to take the gig. They're setting him up, and they have already probably whispered in his ear, look, you're the guy. We're going to talk to the guy in Oklahoma, but he's going to go to the Cowboys because the Cowboys are going to blow out their coach. We are the most undesirable location or opening in town or in the league. So what do we think we're going to get? We're going to get a retread like Bill Callahan, and maybe we keep the offensive genius who hasn't really shown much of anything.
But, Jack, here's the thing. You could get Eric Bieniemy, possibly. You could get Byron Leftwich. There are other guys like that. Those are the two that you keep hearing.
You got to either go old wooden ship, somebody that's done this a million times before and wants one last chance at it, or the kid that's never done it, right?
I understand how undesirable the job is. I'm just going to stick with the reason I correctly predicted they were going to draft a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
They had to do something to create excitement. Now, as it has turned out, that move has not necessarily done that to the extent that you and I thought.
It's not very exciting.
But it's because the ship had sailed down the ocean farther than we thought it would on people not caring about this team, maybe. But I refuse to believe they're just going to do the most boring thing, which would be to promote the guy who wants to run it 30 times, who's been in your building for years. I think Dan Snyder, from a marketing standpoint, is going to try to go bigger than that. Let's go to Mo and Largo on the fan. What's up, Mo?
Fellas, thanks for taking my call.
Buddy.
So, I believe both of you guys are correct, okay? For one, I believe Danny's correct because he presents the situation that allows Bruce to avoid any culpability within the situation, okay? I believe Grant's correct that, yes, they're going to try to look to make a splash going into next year. But as far as granting him the autonomy of the position, I believe that did take place because if they didn't give that to him, who do they hire? And at the end of the day, Bruce wants to be in control. So, therefore, he gives a little bit to get his man in control so he can still
pull the strings. Well, when you said who do they hire, do you mean who would have been the interim head coach?
Yes.
Kavanaugh? the guy that moans, what I just mentioned him, what's
Tom
his name?
Sula.
Tom Sula.
But I don't
whoever,
think,
who
I
cares?
Don't think those, but I don't think those people offer the same comfort of the situation going the way Bruce wants it to go. I understand that we, quote unquote, are giving him the autonomy of the position, but at the end of the day, Bruce is still in control, and that's what he wants. So you pick your man that you know that you go back with, even though you've given him the wink, wink, yeah, you can do what you want. Nah, bro, this is still my show. You're my man. I brought you here, so you know that you're really going to do what I want you to do. But, yeah, we're going to let everybody else think that you have the control of the position.
So, oh, yeah, it was a dead giveaway all along that it was going to be Callahan. That was Bruce's guy in the building. I'm just saying you're explaining why they did what they did, which I appreciate. What I'm arguing is why it makes no sense. So I think both things are probably
yeah,
true.
Right.
You're saying, no, they did it for this reason. I understand why they did it. I'm saying that's ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying when he asks for that, you should have said, no, we have 10 other assistants on this staff. One of them can get us to the end of this 2-14 debacle
yeah.
somehow.
We got losing covered. That doesn't matter who's got the headset on.
Will Brinson of CBS Sports joins us next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day. Will Brinson was going to join us from CBS Sports. Had something pop up. No biggie. We'll get him on in the next few days. Always enjoy having him on the show. We're on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me.
Please give us a follow. And if you can't get through on the phones or you want to keep the convo going after the show, you can always do it.
We like that.
There. Quick look around the NFL. We were going to do this with Will. We're big boys. We could do it by ourselves.
We're grown-ups.
The team that I think I'm the most blown away by to this point has been the San Francisco 49ers.
Has to be right.
I completely didn't buy in on their hype. A lot of people said they were going to be much better. Jimmy Garoppolo only wins, though. Kyle Shanahan had two straight seasons where he'd really struggled, but he didn't have his plan in place, really. He didn't have his quarterback on the field. For them to be the last team not to have lost midway through the season now, leading the NFC West at 8-0 and a plus 133, this is what people don't get. 8-0, really impressive, but you could beat Buffalo and have a great record and have played absolutely nobody. They've outscored their opponents 235 to 102. Here's some other point margins. First place New Orleans, 7-1, plus 39. First place Green Bay, 7-2, plus 37. How about first place Kansas City, 6-3, plus 48. First place New England, 8-1, 172.
That's the only team better.
Only team with a better margin in football than the 49ers.
So they've only allowed 102 points. The Patriots, whose defense is historically good, have allowed 98 through one more game, just to let you know how great they are, okay? Only team not in triple digits in terms of points allowed. San Francisco has allowed 102 points this season. That's absurd. That's exceptional. That's outstanding. That's excellent. That's why they're where they are. Defense, offensively, they've been up and down. They've had a couple. They had a game, I think, with five turnovers that they still won because of how good that defense is. They right now are the story of the NFC. They're not getting enough attention. They're not getting enough credit for how good they are and how competitive they've been and how they've just run roughshod through everybody. I still think a correction is coming. But it's still a correction to the tune of them being 12-4, 13-3, right? Are they going under 500 the rest of the way? They go 3-5. They're 11-5 team. That's pretty badass in that division, which has three teams that are pretty good. And Arizona's no pushover, okay? They're not Quinton and O'Brien in the semifinals of the tournament, Tommy. This group is decent, and they're defensively better than you thought, and offensively they're exciting. A lot of ups and downs, but whatever. The point is that division maybe the best in football, with the Rams coming up in third place at 5-3. Seahawks just a steady 7-2. The other team I want to talk about, Jeeps, in the NFC is the New Orleans Saints.
Yep.
They're 7-1, despite having Drew Brees go out early this year. Their one loss was a bad showing, frankly, on the road at the Rams early on this year. Other than that,
that was the game where he got hurt.
Where he got injured.
Bridgewater without the reps during the week. I know everyone thinks backups should get all the first-team reps to get ready in case they have to play, but that doesn't work that way.
No.
He didn't really get to prepare. So because of that, old Teddy Bridgewater struggled and they lost. Brees was out until last week, came back and lit it up for 373-3.
Impressive win on the road at Seattle. Impressive wins at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Not because their offense was any good, but because their defense shoved it. The Cowboys, remember, came into that game 3-0. The Cowboys had just finished killing a bunch of bad teams, match up against a couple good ones. They didn't manage diddly or squat in that game. I believe a total yardage accumulated of less than 250 yards in that ballgame. So New Orleans is handling their business. They're on the bye now. They're getting healthier. They've got an easy schedule to come out at the start of the second half. Falcons, Buccaneers, Falcons again, three times in 4 weeks. They could be staring at 11, 12, 13, 14 wins just by being themselves.
AFC for a second. I think the Bills are frauds, having just watched them play the Redskins. I don't really like their style of play. Josh Allen throwing the football, still an issue, and just not consistent enough for me to feel like they could make a playoff run. I know that they are 6-2, but here are their wins. They beat the Jets by 1 point. They were down 16 in the game.
Should have lost that game.
They beat the Giants. They beat the Bengals, who have yet to win. They lost to the Patriots.
Right.
They beat the Titans in a game where they scored 14 points. They beat the Dolphins. They got dominated by the Eagles. They beat the Redskins. They have beaten nobody. I mean, literally, if you put together the list of the six worst teams in football, you might list the six teams they've beaten. The two teams they've played that are any good, they have been beaten fairly handily, and in one game, absolutely dominated 31-13. So, just not high on Buffalo. You go to the AFC North, the Ravens continue to impress. You know that I wasn't big on Lamar Jackson. Here's my big question. It's the same thing I had coming into the year. To this point, they have not really been in a situation, at least not consistently, where on an obvious passing down, he's got to stand in the pocket and make a big boy throw. In the games where they needed to do that, they weren't really able to. They lost to the Chiefs in a bit of a shootout, 33-28. The other game they lost was to the Browns by 15 on a day where they shut down their running game and Lamar Jackson didn't do a whole lot on the ground. So I still think it's a pretty easy path to beating Baltimore in terms of knowing what you have to do.
Right.
It's just a lot easier said than done to actually slow their running game down. But when they're able to do what they want, which is Lamar Jackson on options and kind of running behind big-bodied dudes, looks like some high school offense from 10 years ago, it's a blast to watch. It's transcendent. And they pour 59 on bad teams like Miami, or they beat the Cardinals, which they've done. But here's their wins. Ready? Miami?
Yeah.
Not impressive. Arizona?
Yeah.
Not impressive. They lose to the Chiefs. They lose to the Browns. The Steelers by 3 points without Ben Roethlisberger. Not impressive. That was an overtime game, by the way, against Mason Rudolph. The Bengals by 6 points barely.
Not impressive.
Not impressive. The Seahawks on the road.
Impressive.
Impressive. The Patriots at home. Impressive.
Impressive.
So, 2 weeks ago, I'm going, Baltimore, they're over-talked about.
They're a 4-2 team, but come on. Well, now.
The last 2 weeks, a little bit of a coming-out party. I'm changing my tune on the Ravens. They better hang 30 on the Bengals this weekend. The game I think that'll be like the end-all, be-all of, I just have to say, okay, I'm wrong, they're really good. That Texans matchup in 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to that.
67 points in 2 weeks against Seattle and the Patriots. That ain't nothing, right?
That's it, man. That's the list.
Yeah, I'm with you. But their schedule is arduous. They needed that win against the Patriots. Bengals, yes, that's a clown show. But Texans, Rams, Niners, and then a couple more division games. Who knows what the Browns are going to be in December when they match up? And the Steelers aren't, terrible at this point, right? They've shown some friskiness, and they got to go up to Buffalo. Now, we know Buffalo is fraudulent, but still, that defense can play, maybe gives them a bit of a game. Not an easy schedule for the Ravens, so they needed a couple of these big wins. I thought, frankly, they would win one of the two, maybe between Seattle and New England
Same.
At best, but they won both. Harvest a couple wins, you're 6-2. Again, you could luck box your way into 10-11 wins the rest of the way.
AFC South, I don't love the Texans. I don't love the Colts. I think both right now, eye test-wise, look like they could be playoff teams.
Yeah,
I don't know that either has a chance to get to a Super Bowl. I don't think they're on that level. But they look good enough that I could see them making the playoffs. I think the Texans are better than the Colts. And then the Chiefs, Andy Reid, man, without Pat Mahomes against Minnesota this weekend, I mean, their quarterback was scouting quarterbacks for the NFL draft this year for teams,
yeah.
Matt Moore. He was there for the Panthers watching QBs or whatever team he was working
Gave himself an okay grade, I guess.
I think it was the Dolphins, actually. But he's back in the league throwing touchdowns to Tyreek Hill behind everybody.
And defensively, they're not terrible, right? They're not good. I'm not sitting here telling you, Mom, Dad, come into the room. You got to see this Chiefs defense. Nobody's saying that. But they're not an embarrassment, right? They're not winning 50-49 every week. They're making a play or two. And that's all you need. When Pat Mahomes is right and that offense is right, you just maybe turn somebody over once, get yourself after the passer. They're like those Peyton Manning Colt teams, right, where you could run against them. That's adorable. But you know Peyton Manning's going to score, and you know it was going to be Dwight Freeney and company getting upfield and trying to sack the quarterback. That's how they're designed. And if they're just okay on defense, right? You saw them shove it on Denver. You saw them make some plays in a game against Indianapolis that they ultimately lost because their offense wasn't any good that game without Mahomes. But they're not terrible on defense, and that's a key for them.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We are 15 minutes away from a Beltway Blitz, 1 hour away from Caps winger Carl Hagelin. Jamal Collier on the Nats in our final hour. Plus, we're giving away a huge, cool Nats prize today as well. You are listening to The Fan. Get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
As you probably have recalled, or you may remember, GP, but I've had a number of awkward incidents at our work gym downstairs, including once where I went down onto the ground to do some abdominal things, and I was awakened by a security guard 30 minutes later.
Wait, what do you mean? You fell asleep?
Yeah, I fell asleep.
On the ground?
Yeah, so there's like a mat you know you use to put down. You're like, oh, I'm going to do some sit-ups.
When did that happen?
This is a while ago. But I fell asleep.
You didn't pass out?
No, I just fell asleep. Really strenuous workout, as you can imagine. I had the other times, this happened two different times, where I was doing an exercise and gas was passed, and people got very annoyed about that. That's happened. Well, yesterday, this was awkward, quite frankly. A guy that I have seen only once before, but definitely remember him, from the work gym. I got, as you know, I have a lot of stuff. I'm not quite Chris Russell going from room to room, but I have like a lot of stuff that I'd have with me.
And You're huge on the bags that I hate.
Right.
What are they called?
Not duffels. What are they called?
No. It's like a bag that a girl would have at a store. Tote bag. Danny loves tote bags.
Yeah, so I put a lot of stuff in them because I've got my change of clothes. I've got lunch for the day. I've got all the different things.
No one has ever liked tote bags more than you.
I don't know. People probably have liked them more than me in history.
I
do use one frequently, yes. And thanks to our folks at EMP 180 for giving me the one that I use on a daily basis. But anyway, I got my change of clothes and I got my computer because I got to use my own computer here at work, right? Which I'm fine with. I'm happy to do it. Happy to have the gig. So anyway, I got my stuff and I go downstairs. And so because my hands are full, I open the door to the locker room, which is about 3x3. It's the tiniest prison cell of a locker room in the history of the world. And there's no room for anyone ever to do anything. And it's especially awful when someone decides, I'm going to use that bathroom to blow it up. And it's just miserable. It's all right there. But anyway, the point of the dude's story is this. So I open the door with my back. You can picture that, right? So I've got my hands full.
Yeah, you probably and I just have sort of, three duffel bags and a hand on a phone or something.
Yeah, and I back in there. Actually, was holding my water. This blue, whatever you call this thing, Swell water bottle I was using, okay? So I open the door with my back. I don't slam into it. I don't kick it. I don't do a thing where I open it hard. I just kind of back into the door, and I use that momentum to then do a little turn, pivot, to walk into the bathroom. Well, it just so happened, as can happen behind closed doors, there was somebody just on the other side of that door. Right? That's bad luck. Right? That's happened to a million people.
Yep.
It's not like it's glass. If it was, we could have seen each other coming and avoided it.
Contact was made.
Again, I didn't open the door hard. This guy was having a conversation with somebody else in the locker room. Again, these are things that happen normally in our society. People talk to each other. Sometimes doors open, whatever. So I immediately offer my apologies. Oh, I'm so sorry.
How was contact made?
I didn't touch him. I think the door may have either hit his foot. Again, hit is all. He's fine.
Okay, but
there's no injury.
He was not like knocked into the back wall. Like
no,
he was maybe grazed by the door or it bumped into him. Like, oh, sorry, and you go about your day.
That's how I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
He, I think, was surprised by the door opening, because again, he was in in-depth conversation. What was funny is they were talking about the Wizards, I was able to deduce after a few moments. I don't know why that's funny, actually, but it was just interesting
that's
to me.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, yeah, can you believe that? I was so stupid. I wish I hadn't said that. It's on record.
No, it's fine.
So anyway, he then goes, yo, man, watch out. Very disproportionately angry to me.
Wait, how immediate from the car? That's terrible.
Right away.
How immediate from the contact did he say that?
He's touched and then yelled, yo, man, watch out.
At that anger level.
Legit angry at me. Before I can offer my profuse apologies. Because, again, it's just an unfortunate consequence. Just a bad thing that happened.
Right.
But it's such
a
minimal bad thing.
Don't stand right in front of the door.
It's exactly. Again, I. Dude, oh, sorry, man. And I think that's going to be the end of it. By the time I choose a locker, he's like, seriously, bro, can't just kick the door down. There are people.
Wait, he went back for more?
And I'm like, yep, sorry. You know, I have my headphones in. I don't really plan on engaging with this guy or whatever. And I'm like, yep, I guess you're right. You know, he's like, seriously, that's messed up. Except he didn't use messed up. He used the word that rhymes with what they use in hockey. Okay?
So that's three comments to you now.
Three. We're at three, which is three more than
the
it should have been.
The first one was, yo, man.
He was surprised. I go, I can forgive that. I can let that one pass. That's
and the
not,
second
not
one is he scolds you and says, you can't just do that.
You can't just do that.
And the third one says, for real, though, that was leaped up.
Yeah. And the other guy in the room is kind of like, I don't think it was that bad. I think everyone's right. Fine. This is not a real incident. So I change, and the guy is out in the gym still talking to his buddy. And he does the thing where you don't talk, like, I'm not talking to you, but I could go, I'm talking to Brendan. I just want to let you know I'm talking about Grant. Right. I can't believe how inconsiderate some people are. He's doing that bit.
What was he actually saying? Was it the inconsiderate line?
It was just, you can't go charging into rooms. What kind of effed up BS is that? Some people are so selfish. Some people are so self-absorbed. It is ridiculous. It's the downfall of society. Like, carrying on.
You're kidding.
As if I just
I would have engaged.
Finally, The Rock has come back. Finally, I take out my headphones,
standing up for
my
this.
Apple, my little iPods, AirPods rather. And I said, "You okay, buddy? Everything all right? Hope you're all right. I can get you to the hospital if you need it."
Did you say that?
Just like that, because I know he's talking about me. I'm finally just so incensed. And again, this is not me being a tough guy. Or
yeah,
you should have heard what I said to him. But I was over the top because I finally got sick of it.
Of course,
I was like,
you should have.
So I said, and he looked at me. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. No thanks to you." And I was like, "I'm glad, man." Was really concerned about the minimal contact you experienced standing in front of the effing door. Go away.
Right.
So I may have to see him again.
So what?
He was down at the gym. So I'll probably make a point of it every single time to gently open
that
the door and just make sure that everything's okay. An awkward incident occurred yesterday at 2:22.
I love it. At least no one got killed. People have been killed for less around here lately.
Wow.
Which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But you guys just yelled at each other. That's good. We should be able to yell at each other.
Yeah.
Adults should be able to yell at each other without anyone killing the other person.
I agree with that. We got it out. So hopefully that's the end of it. I don't know where he works. He doesn't work up here.
Grant and Danny on the Fandy Beltway Blitz next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.